Father, we're so grateful. It's such an honor and a pleasure, Lord God, to gather together. The Bible says, in your presence there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. The Bible says we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, much the more so as we see the day approaching. And we see the day approaching. And so we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, so that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. We pray that you will put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, and those who indeed will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings in their own individual life, agreed individually and said, amen. School of Perfection. We're teaching on Christian perfection, using the Lord Jesus Christ as our pattern and our model. The Bible actually says this. It's amazing to me that it's not emphasized. It actually says it. It's not me who said it. It's the Bible who said it. You know? It says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is a emphasis of the Holy Spirit that he didn't leave it. He didn't just leave it in generalities. He was extremely specific. And then he goes on in verse 15 to say, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. And that's what we believe. And that's what all Christians should believe. And so we're using him as our pattern. And we are also in the time, because the Bible says, Jesus himself said, he says, in the third day I'll be perfected. The third day there is not third 24 hours from when he was talking. Jesus was already perfect anyway. So he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about his body. And he was talking about the third millennium from his birth, which time we're in now. And so we're using him as our pattern. That's our standard. Over the years, I think people have shied away from trying to be like Jesus because they don't believe it's possible because of the sinful nature that is we still observe in our souls, in our flesh, and all of that. And down through the years, you know, when I say years, I'm talking about centuries, you know, from the time of Christ up till now, there's really been nobody who's actually done it. So people become, well, you know, maybe it just can't be done. My first year as a Christian, somebody actually said this to me, because I read it and I believed it. I read it in 1 John. We were in a Bible study in the Christian Union and Imperial College, Postgraduate Christian Union. So after the meeting, I went up to one of the senior brethren, you know, and it says in 1 John chapter 2, it says, whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is love. So I just believed it. So I went up to this fellow and I said, you know, the Bible says this. He said, the Bible says that, but everybody knows that's not possible. He said, the Bible is just trying to encourage us to get there, you know. So long as we're in this flesh, we can never be perfected. The Holy Ghost said, don't argue with him, he's an elder. So I didn't. But he said, what he's telling you is not true. So I went back home and I checked the scriptures. The Bible says the Berean Christians checked the scriptures. So I found out that was not the only scripture. The whole Bible was full of it. The New Testament was full of it. You know, that we may Colossians says that we may present every man perfect. You know, in so many places, the Bible speaks of this truth. And so the problem, the stronghold is because we don't understand what perfection is. Firstly. Then secondly, we haven't got a roadmap. We have it now by revelation. Thank God for that. But at that time, there was no roadmap of how to get there. So when you don't know what it is and you don't know how to get it, you assume it can't be done. You know, and then if you look at history, you know, I think some of the most successful Christians from the time of Jesus, you had the Apostle John, of course, you know, but, you know, John's dead now and has gone home to be with the Lord, you know, and then later on Polycarp and some of his disciples. But as the ages went by, you know, less and less people talked about that, you know, and then we had a resurgence in someone like John Wesley and Charles Wesley, who wrote beautiful things about perfection. You know, second work of grace, sanctification. But again, you know, very few people ever got there. And then later on, Charles Finney. And in our own generation, we had a few brethren here and there who spoke about these things. But many of them died. They didn't really experience it. You know, it never really happened. So skepticism has built over the years. We've heard that before. People don't do it, you know. But one thing you must never do as a Christian, I was taught this by Kenneth Hagin. Let's give Papa Hagin a clap offering. Amen. He said, never base your faith or unbelief on any man's experience. That includes even me. Don't base your faith and experience on my experience. Base it on the Word of God. See, men can have all kinds of experiences. They are men. But God's word will never fail. You know, God watches over his word to perform it. So don't base your faith or unbelief on a man's failure or a man's success. If a man succeeds in line with the word of God, use him as a good example. If he fails, put him aside and stick with the word of God. What the Bible says is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. So by the grace and the mercy of God, that's what I have done. You know, and I've looked at the scriptures and I found the Bible is true. You know, then I now began to understand over the years that one of the reasons why it hasn't happened is, one, there's a time and season for everything. So the perfection was not possible before the third day. So no matter how much John Wesley tried, or all those guys, you know, and why? Because by the third day, revelation was now available. The Bible says the light of the righteous shine more and more unto the perfect day. So there wasn't, even if they had the desire, the light to do it was not available. Our generation is unique because we are in a generation that has the light. We have, which means the revelation of God's word. You know, and we have the season and the time. The generations before us didn't have it. That's why they didn't experience it. But we are the final generation. We are the generation that is going to walk in all of those things and close this age. So to understand this, you have to understand that when we get born again, the divine nature comes into the spirit, the inner man. The sin nature is still in the soul and in the flesh. That's the until you understand and rightly divide spirit, soul, and body. One, you can't understand Christianity. Two, you can't understand perfection. Once you still think of perfection as somebody who is, you know, a utopia that you know, they don't make any mistakes, you know, then that's not possible. Then you misunderstand what perfection is all about. So you get born again. Give me the illustration. We're going to use the two of them tonight. But first of all, give me the first one, the one that just shows our connection with the body of Christ and, you know, the inner man and the outer man. Then we'll then zero in on the second one that gives you more detail on the soul. But let's look at this. It's a pictorial representation, but I got this by revelation. I didn't read it in a book. You know, many, many years ago, when I first had scripture pasture, I got somebody in the church who was a better artist than I was to do it. And then over the years, we've developed it. And, you know, while he's doing that, you know, put that up. So your inner man is your spirit. Your spirit has, the soul is a part of the spirit. It's inside the spirit, but it's up here in the brain region where your physical brain is. So when you get born again, yeah, okay. Right. Okay. Roll it. Roll the tape. It's not a tape. It's a movie. All right. Now stop a minute. Just stop a minute. Okay, stop. Now, look, you see that inner man there is the one in yellow. Yellow there is just symbolic of the Zoe. Zoe is actually golden yellow. The Bible tells us that, you know, in the book of Ezekiel and so many places, they use the word flame of fire. It says his eyes are like a, well, if you look at fire, when you look at fire, you see three main colors. You see red, you see orange, and you see yellow. If you mix red, orange, and yellow, you get amber. That's the amber color, you know. Now, the white part on top, move the movie back. Move the movie back. Backwards, not forwards. Good. Now, stop. Good. Stop. Right. No. Move back a little bit. A few seconds back. Stop. Right. Now, here you've got the anatomy. You see, when we say inner man, spirit, is that whole inner man, and it's all yellow. Up there is the soul, where it's white, and the little dots there represent the sin nature, the black. So when you get born again, your inner man is born again, but the soul is not born again. The black is in the soul. And that's why you sin. The Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so you cannot do what you should do. Now, the sin nature is still in the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's the soul. And it's also still in the physical body. The physical body is outlined in black there, you know. So you see the sin nature. And then you even see it in the air. Those black arrows in the air coming against the mind, coming against the soul and the body. That's why Christians sin. So even though the inner man is born again, the outer man is not born again. And there is a conflict between the God's nature in your spirit and the sin nature in the soul and in the body. But the good news is that if you will learn, and you have to learn it, it says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, to use the blood, the word, and the spirit, you can overcome and push away the sin nature that is in the soul and in the body. And when you clean it all out, the Bible actually uses that expression in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 in verse 1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us. It's something you do. The Holy Spirit will help you, but you are responsible. You know, let us cleanse ourselves from all, not some, filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting, meaning it is a present continuous process, you know, holiness in the fear of God. All right? The same scripture, the same promises as what is spoken about in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. It says, having therefore these promises, you know, you have your partakers of the divine nature. So we use the word of God to partake of the divine nature, more greater measures of the divine nature, the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from sin when we do sin. Now roll the tape. We're so used to the tape, Pastor G. You know, it's all part of our generation. Our generation grew up on tapes. Amen. Your generation grew up on CDs, and you know, now roll the CD. All right, roll the movie. Right now you can see. Stop, just a minute. You saw those. Go back a few seconds. Go backwards a few seconds. Good. A few more seconds. Okay. Okay. Start. Yeah, exactly. When it gets to the red, stop. Thank you, Mommy. Mommy picked it correct. When you get to the red, stop. Stop! We need to pray for them up there. Okay. Now, the red there shows attack. You know, so the sin nature, the springs of the power of the air, is coming against the soul and the body in the flesh. Now, when the person does not resist it, as an act of his will, and he doesn't speak the word, he doesn't pray, he doesn't use enough power, then that thing now becomes sin. Move the movie. Roll the movie. Okay, that's the red, exactly. Okay, so you can see the red. You know, aha. So it now causes an act of sin. That act of sin now goes there, that black, it now blocks the connection between you and God. Roll the movie. You can see. So the sin is a substance. You can see it's stop. Sin is a substance. It's isn't just an act. You see, sin is not just something that you do. Sin is something you have. That's why you need Jesus. You cannot stop doing sin if you still have sin. You have to get rid of the sin nature before you can stop the sin actions. People are trying to stop the sin actions without getting rid of the sin nature. It's called legalism. That's why they think if I wear a scarf or I don't wear a scarf, I'm holy. If I use perfume, I'm unholy. If I do this, you know, all of those are acts. Whereas the sin nature is still there. If you don't get rid of the sin nature, no matter how nice you paint the outside and it looks, it will still be filthy rags in the sight of God. Oh, that's why all human righteousness is as filthy rags, because he still has a sin nature. And there's only one thing that can remove the sin nature, the blood of Jesus. And that's why Jesus said it this way to Nicodemus, you must. It is not optional. You must be born again. It is the born again man with the blood of Jesus, we're going to show in a minute, the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that can, number one, remove the sin nature. Then number two, do acts of righteousness. If you don't remove the sin nature, all the acts of righteousness are filthy rags. But when you remove the sin nature, then you now perform acts of righteousness that have come by the Spirit. Roll the movie. So you can see that that's what is blocking. Now, keep rolling, keep rolling. I'll tell you when to stop. Listen carefully to me. Keep rolling. Stop, stop, stop. Now, when there is a block between you and God, because of the sin nature, the divine nature that is inside the inner man reduces in measure. So you can see that that inner man still has a lot of some of the yellow in the belly, but when you move to the top and to the rest of the something, is black, is gray. The sin nature canal. The sin nature now dominates. He's a Christian. He's born again. If he's not born again, there's no yellow there. The yellow shows he's born again. Do you understand? But the gray shows that the sin nature has more dominion than the divine nature. He said, you are yet carnal. I could not write unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babies in Christ. Whereby amongst you, there's still envy, strife, jealousy, pride, tumors, like Paul, is there swellings? Swellings. That's it's pride. Are you following me? It's all a part of that sin nature. Because, and sadly, this is how majority of Christians are. Carnal. That's why you have so many problems in the church. Ego, pride, strife, backbiting, gossip, worry. Nobody said amen. Mommy was telling you the other day, worry is a sin. It's all part of it. It's all part of that sin nature. See, that's the problem. Now, you can now understand the scripture Jesus said. He said, take heed that the light that is in thee be not darkness. That's how it can be. You're born again. There's light in you, but there's darkness dominating the mind, the will, and the body. So even though he's a Christian, he behaves like the devil. This is the situation of majority of Christians. Another very important thing here is that it's a dynamic situation. In other words, You may be in a better position than this in the morning, and by afternoon you can be like this. Because of unforgiveness, anger, offense, and you don't quickly repent of it. Do you understand? You can deteriorate from a position of more light in the morning to a position of less light in the afternoon. It's dynamic. Good news. Roll the movie. So, stop. You can see it even reduces even more. That's why you need to be quick to repent. Quick to forgive. Quick to say, I'm sorry. Because the longer you stay in that state, the smaller the life of God is and the more the sin nature has dominion. Can you imagine a Christian who says like this 2 weeks? Some people don't talk to people. The husband and wife, they won't talk for 3 months. Or they talk, but it's, hello, how are you? God bless you. And hold the grudge. If you can't say amen, say, oh me. Nobody said amen. And they all said, oh me, inside. How can you say, and then this person wants to cast the devil out. And you know what the devil tell him? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who in the world do you think you are? Are you understanding it? See, a picture is worth 1,000 words. It makes it clear. Now, roll the movie. Now, stop. When you are honest about it, he said, if, notice conditional, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ has never been automatic, and it will never be. It has to be confessed. You know, you have to be honest about it and ask and deliberately receive it. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, it says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if the understanding I have, I'm acting on it. He said, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. From all sin, it says firstly. Then later on, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I taught on this many, many years ago. When we first got married, actually. You know, we got married in 1986. That was a long time ago. It's 34 years now. And you may not believe this, but it's true. During my honeymoon, I wrote my first 2 books. I wrote Walking in the Spirit, and I wrote Keys of the Kingdom. True story. I told my wife, I said, well, I know I went on honeymoon, but I have to write my books. So I said, the morning is prayer. I got morning till, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to pray. I have to write my books. Then I said, after 12, we're staying in Monrovia with my aunt. Her husband was in the United Nations, FAO, Food and Agriculture Organization, and he was a big man there. Had a lovely house and everything. So I said, then in the afternoon we can go out and all that. That's what we did. You know, get up morning, pray, you know. Then in the evening we can do all the honeymoon things. But in the morning is prayer. Are you listening to me? It's a true story. And that was when I wrote I got some of this revelation, and I wrote it down. Watch this. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Then another scripture says, if we say we have no sin. Watch this. The language is very, very, very specific. If we say we have, so there is a sin I have, and then there's a sin I do. If we say we have not sinned. If I say I have no sin, there are 2 different things. If I am dishonest about the fact that I have the sin nature, the blood will not cleanse. If I am dishonest about the fact that I have committed an act of sin, the blood will not cleanse. The blood only cleanses when I am honest about the 2 things. I'm honest that I still have the sin nature. and I am honest that I did something wrong. Then and only then would the blood cleanse. So you can see why the blood is not cleansing a lot of people. And no matter how much you shout, you put the blood on the car, you put it on the expressway, it won't cleanse you. Because that's not even what it's supposed to be used for. We, you know, don't miss Sunday. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss church on Sunday. I have a very important message that I'm going to be sharing with us, you know, about guilt and the blood and all of that. But, you know, until you learn how to be honest and maintain that attitude of honesty, the degree of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ in your life will be minimal. And you know what they're trying to do when they say, you know, I plead the blood. He's trying to cover up for a guilt that he still has. And he thinks that by using the blood of Jesus Christ as a talisman, like a rabbit's foot or some good luck charm, you know, you'll put the blood on, I'll splash the blood everywhere. That's not what it's supposed for. The blood is for the cleansing of the conscience and the heart. Amen? Amen. What takes care of the expressway and the house and all are the angels of God. Amen. That operate through the power that is released from the life of God. Amen. That's why you need three weapons. You need the blood. The blood cleanses your heart. It does not cleanse the road. Then you need the life and the power of God. You need life of God, and you need the power of God when you speak God's word and you pray. Then the angels will now use that power to now take care of the road and take care of the demons and all the things. You don't want them on your car. You don't put the blood on your car. You need the angels on your car. But a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding, and because of and the root of it is dishonesty. I don't want to accept that I still have sin. I don't want to accept that I have sinned. You know, look at me now. I've not sinned though. You know, I've not. I don't know what I've done. Many times, not what you have done, is what you have not done. Many times, the sins are not even sins of commission. They are sins of omission. Many times, they're not sins of moral, of breaking of moral law, but sins of wrong attitude. And people don't recognize that sin. Rebellion. Stubbornness. Have you heard that before? In our language, that means that's what the pastor has said. Oh, that's his own. Me, you know, I'm led by the Spirit. Most of that I'm not led by the Spirit, it's led by the flesh. It's all, you know, and they don't recognize it as sin. Don't recognize it as sin. The Bible says that, you know, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, is to him it is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. People, the same people recognize adultery, fornication, debauchery, alcohol, smoking cigarette. Hey, that's a sinner. Bribery and corruption. People in Abuja, our politicians, Bavariga, those are the sinners. We the saints in the church, we're not sinners. Sometimes we're worse sinners than those guys. Because they don't even have the light we have. And to whom much is given, much shall be required. He that did not know will be beaten with few stripes. He that knew and didn't do, he said he'll be beaten with many stripes. Your own responsibility. So, you know, the guy in Abuja who is stealing government money, who is not born again, do you understand? Is not as guilty as you who knows the word of God and is not doing it. I don't know. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Pastor G, I'm walking over people tonight. You know the bad news or the good news? All is done in my notes. The Holy Ghost. I didn't even plan to do this. You know? But you see, if we don't understand what we're talking about, we'll just be going around in circles. Like children of Israel, they roamed the wilderness for 40 years. An 11-day journey became a 40-year agony. The same thing with the church. We don't know where we are going. We're trying to do things without having an understanding of where we're coming from. Now, this is correct understanding now. So when you're honest about it and you confess your sins, the blood of Jesus, You'll notice it comes from Jesus, who is the head. It doesn't come from the body. Although it comes from the body too, you know, if people pray for you. But it's still the blood of Jesus. It's still Jesus who supplies it. That red, now roll the movie. Removes, can you, stop! Can you see the blood? That's why it says cleanse us from all. There is not one drop of black left. Every time you confess your sins or you say, Lord, have mercy on me, I receive the blood for cleansing from all unrighteousness. That's what happens. It removes everything. So that the life of God can flow maximally. If there are still spots of black there, it will hinder that flow. Just like a kitchen sink. If you don't remove, if you have amala and bokoto and ban. All the, you know, and the way do and all of this, you know, the water can't flow properly. But it's when you remove everything and the water starts flowing properly. So it is with the blood of Jesus. Now, roll the movie. So you now have the life of God flowing back. This is what happens. Stop. This is what happens when we are drawing life. When it's in Jesus' name, I have life. You know, Father, give life to me. God, strengthen me. The life of God starts flowing back into the inner man. Roll the movie. Okay. Now you can see how it begins to increase. Stop. Let me explain something here. Do you know that your inner man, that's why we use it, the belly, the innermost being here, is a pump. Just like your heart up here, your physical heart, my doctors, pumps blood, doesn't it? It pumps blood. Your inner heart pumps life. It just like your physical heart pumps blood, your spirit pumps life. And what does it do? It pumps life to the rest of your inner man. Just like your physical heart pumps blood to the rest of your physical body. That's why you see those arrows there. Can you see? Is showing how the life is emanating from the innermost being to the rest of the inner man. So there is the inner man, then there is the innermost. The innermost is, that's where like your navel is, you know, that you it's out of his belly. That's where you should put the power when you groan. That is the generating point. It is the epicenter of the power of God. So when you grow, you don't grow from here. It's from here. It's from here. Roll the movie. So the life of God begins to circulate. And you can see the inner man is going from gray back to yellow. 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 Until gradually it's full. And then he begins to speak God's word, prayer, praying in tongues, confession. Stop. You can stop now. You know. So this is what happens. You can see. Now the good news is this. Look, can you see that the inner man has a greater advantage than the outer man? Look at the life of God. Look at how small the soul is and how much. That's why I say sin will not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. It's because you don't understand what grace is. And you don't know how to put it to work. If you do, you will find that even whenever sin comes, what is inside is far stronger if you will use it. The problem is Christians don't use it. Because of laziness, unbelief, lack of knowledge. Now, give me the second illustration, which is on the soul. Now, this is what we're doing now here is that we are now focusing attention on the soul. Good. Now, stop. Uh-huh. You can see the man is born again. He has the life of God inside his inner man. But you can see there's gray all over the whole place because the measure of the life of God is not sufficient. The soul up there. Now, roll the movie so that we can see it in more detail. Yes. Roll the movie. Stop. This is the anatomy of the soul. The soul is the will, the mind, and the emotions. The black dots there are symbolic of the sin nature. The connections there from the emotions, you see, your emotions are spiritual, but they are directly connected to your physical body. So they affect your body. That's why if a person is in depression, his blood pressure will go down. Hello? Or up. That's a physical thing. But what the cause is, the root is psychosomatic. It's psychological. The word psyche, we were from where psychology comes from, the Greek word psuche, that's where we get soul. So the Greek word is spirit, soul, and body. Spirit is pneuma, soul is psuche, and body, I think, is soma. That's where they get all the psychology. That is from the Greeks, from the Bible. Now, so what you need to do as a Christian is to allow this divine nature in the spirit to dominate this thing here. Roll the movie. Roll the movie. Right. So you can see the body, all the other things. The life of God is flowing from the spirit into the inner man. It's increasing, is increasing. That's what happens when you lie scriptures and you're speaking God's word and all of that. Now, watch this. It gets to the soul, but the soul, the door to the soul is controlled by the will. Now, move the movie. Now, stop, just for a minute. Can you see that there is light in this inner man, but there's no light in the soul so long as the will is closed? It's called stubbornness. It's called rebellion. It's called offense. No matter how much light is inside that inner man, so long as that will is locked, the light cannot go inside. That's why the Bible says, take heed lest the light that is in thee be not darkness. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Your will is very important. God will not override your will. And guess what? God will not allow Satan to override your will. So you have a free will. What you are today is a consequence of what you willed to be all these years till now. What you will be tomorrow will be a consequence of how you use your free will now. As a man willeth, I know it says thinketh, but this is a deeper revelation because it's talking about the soul. As a man willeth in his heart, so is he. Now, roll the movie. Stop. You can see now the will opens, but just very slightly. You can see a little bit of yellow inside the mind, but it's not much. So, that's levels of revelation. There's some revelation, but it's not much. It's just like, you know, it's my mobile phone now. If you took the light off, but don't take it off. Hello? You have where are you? See? It's light. It's light. But you can't compare it to this light upstairs. It's all light. But the measure of this light is much smaller. That's the kind of light most Christians have. Very little light. Because the will is so stubborn. Roll the movie. Roll the movie. You can see the will increase, you know, becoming more and more humble. This is total. Stop! It's totally submitted. Totally open. So the light that is in the inner man can just shine into the mind. That's what gives it revelation knowledge. The God who has commanded the light has shined where? In our hearts. And you can also see that the life of God now goes into the mind. It not only goes out, it goes into the emotions, and then it goes into the body. So the man starts acting spiritual. and stops acting carnal. Now, let's get back to what we're talking about, which is perfection. Roll the movie. Stop. Can you see the number of dots is much smaller now? If you learn to do this daily, regularly, you know what's going to happen? The sin nature in the soul will be gradually removed. When there is no more dots there, that's what we call perfection. Now let's get back to our lesson. Praise the Lord. That is what perfection is. It's using the blood, the word, and the spirit to clean out, in this manner, to clean out the sin nature in the soul and body. When all of it is out, it's perfection. That's what Jesus was born into. See, Jesus was born without any dots because he was born of a virgin. But he still had to grow. When he was 12, he was perfect, but he was not mature. So he grew in perfection into maturity so that he could then be trusted, watch this, after being tested. Even though he was Jesus, God didn't say, it's Jesus, we can trust him now. Let's just give him spirit without measure. He had to be tested. If Jesus had to go through the testing, Cardi, you can be sure you're going to go through your own. Oh, yes. Though he were a son. It doesn't matter whether you are a son or not. Yet, he had to learn obedience by the thing which he suffered. What did he suffer? He suffered self-denial. He suffered submitting to the will of God when he didn't feel like it. He went to Jerusalem, sat down in the temple. That's what he felt like doing. His parents looked for him for 3 days. When they came, I said, why have you dealt with us like this? He said, don't you know I should be about my father's business? He said, you have not dealt with us properly. The Bible says, and he followed his parents. He submitted. He was subject unto them. That is what submission is. And he did that for 18 solid years. And God was not satisfied with that. After the 18 years were complete and he had grown, he knew the word and everything, God said, let's test it. The Holy Ghost put him inside the wilderness. It wasn't the devil. The Bible says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And Satan tried him. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. He had to pass all three are compulsory courses. It was after he passed all the three that the heaven opened. And then the spirit without measure. The same thing with us. You get into perfection is just the beginning of another phase. Amen. You get the cleansed. Then you now grow. As you're growing, you'll be tested. Every time you pass, you fail, you receipt. The good news is that you're not rejected. Are you listening to me? I got receipt, no, praise the Lord. Until you pass. It is when you've passed the three. You've passed lust of the flesh. You have passed lust of the eyes. You have passed pride of life. Then the Holy Ghost will now go to the Father and say, he has passed. Jesus will tell the Father, I'm witness. He has passed. Then Father will say, release spirit without measure. It was only then that Jesus could now turn water to wine. He couldn't turn water to wine before. It was only then he could walk on water. It was only then he could, you know, speak to the man with the withered hand and the thing will. I like that miracle, Prof. You know, those who are medical people, when those miracles start, I want you to come and we will do the CT scan before and after. And check the quality of the cartilage and the bone. I'm sure when you check, you will see the difference between the one that came from heaven and the one that was there before. I know, it's wonderful. Oh, the things that are ahead of us are wonderful. It was only after he had done all of these things that all that power. So we call it the spirit without measure. We have the Holy Ghost now, but we have the spirit with measure. That's why we have to do all kinds of gymnastics before we get one miracle. We pray, doors grow, bind it up, we shout, roll on the floor. Finally, something will happen. Praise God. Amen. But this one, there's no need to shout. The spirit without measure, just say, I will. And the Bible says, and the leprosy left him. It means the leprosy could hear. See, there's a spirit behind every sickness that is enforcing the condition. When it saw a power that was greater than itself, and it says, leave. The Bible says, the leprosy left. Oh, we got great things ahead. This is what perfection is all about. This is what we're teaching. So we have to grow. You know, like Jesus did, he was a baby in Bethlehem. Then he grew into a young man, a little child and young man in Nazareth. Then in Capernaum, he now became a father, spiritually speaking, you know, and he received the Spirit without measure and he began to do miracles. We follow, Jesus is the pattern son. We follow the same pattern using the example of the pattern disciple, Paul and John, two pattern disciples. Paul was, John was. And so you see that if you're going to get into these things, I've seen that over these last 40 years. I've been a Christian now for 41, really. You know, it'll be 41 this year. You know, I can tell you that if you don't follow that pattern, you will never go into perfection. And it is this. You start with the Pauline prayers. You know, praying in the Spirit, honesty and humility of heart. You know, God will give you the Spirit of wisdom. Without reason or revelation, you'll never see it. You will never understand it. You can hear all the words in English, you know, you can hear what we're saying, but the inner understanding will not be there because it's only light from here that goes here that can give it. Then from there you move to John, where John gives us the revelation of Zoe, the eternal life and perfection. That's what you see in John's gospel as well as 1st, 2nd and 3rd John. All the things about perfection, you find the major of it is inside John. Some of it is in 1st and 2nd Peter, some of it is in James, some of it is in Jude, but majority of it is inside John. You know, so you go with it. Then you now get to Jesus. There is no other way. There is no your way, my way, or anybody else's way. You know, that's why Paul, he said the gospel I preach, he said, I was not taught by man. He said, but by revelation of what? Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who revealed himself to Paul. He said that when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. Papa Paul. Oh, but here. I didn't like him at all. He said, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood, nor with them that were apostles before me. But I went to the mountains of Arabia. Yeah, when I returned, after 3 years, I went to James and Peter and to the elders in Jerusalem, you know, who seemed to be pillars. No, he said, but whatever matter, he said, it maketh no matter to me, for God accepted no man person. He said, and when in conference, Baba Paul. He said, they added nothing to me. But he said, but when rather they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, like that of the circumcision was committed to Peter, they gave unto me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Give Paul a clap of it. Ah, that was Emmanuel. We can follow him. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, if it was today, you say, this man is so arrogant. Who does he think he is? But he was writing by revelation. It was God who sent him. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, mark them which so are, having us as a standard. He said, for there be many, he said, whose God is their belly, who are enemies of the cross, who with fear, with good speeches and fair words, deceive the hearts of the simple. It's still happening today. So we follow this pattern, you know, and we can come into the measure of the stature, just like, so it's not a difficult, it can be done. It can be done. God has shown us, given us the road map. And you know, this same Apostle Paul, I preached this in church some months ago, recently. I preached some years ago. It's in the weekly rhema. It's called the fullness of God. Then I preached again recently, being filled with all the fullness of God. He gives us a roadmap. It's a prayer that the Holy Spirit put into his heart. He prayed for the Ephesian church and had it recorded so all churches down through the ages can have it. He said, I pray that God will strengthen you with might by his Spirit in the inner man. that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, you know, of the body of Christ. And to, he didn't put the body of Christ there, but it's by implication, that's what it is, you know, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Give the Lord a clap offering. So it can be done. It's a roadmap. If you will get rooted and grounded in love, and you will learn to walk in love and use the blood. If you see your brother sin, a sin on that, that's John again. You know, ask life for them, you'll grow in it. And a time will come where God can trust you. And then you will get the Spirit without measure. You have the Holy Ghost already. You have the Spirit, but you have the earnest of the Spirit. You don't have the Spirit without measure. In other word, a code word for the Spirit without measure is the word fire. It's the same thing. You see, glory and fire are interchangeable. So we say, that's why we're baptized with the Holy Ghost, measure, and with fire, without measure. So you, when you first get, well, that's why you have the earnest. See, that's why he prayed this prayer for them, that they might be filled. Because even though they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues, they were not filled with all the fullness of God. Otherwise, there will be no need for the second prayer. Hello? He said, after you had received that Holy Ghost, which is the earnest of your inheritance. They had received it. They had spoken. How many people know they spoke in tongues in Ephesus? Remember? Acts 19. He came to the upper coast and the Ephesus says, have you been baptized? He said, we've never heard of any. He said, we baptized. He said, unto the what then were you baptized? So he said, okay. He got them born again. Got them baptized in water, then got them baptized in the Holy Ghost. But they were not filled with all the fullness of God. Don't your neighbor say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the earnest. But you don't have the fullness yet. But you're on the road to getting it. Give yourselves a clap offering. Have I helped anybody here? Okay, now, let's go to John. So we're using Jesus as our model. And we're studying the life of Jesus. And in our last lesson, we start in John chapter 1. I believe it's in verse 14. It says in verse John chapter 1. Jesus, help us. Aha. We stopped here. He says, and the word was made flesh. I didn't hear you. I did not hear you. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. We there is John, James, Andrew, Philip, the 12. He was writing, John was writing, you know, personally, but he was talking about himself and his group. They saw what they had never seen before. We beheld. They, you know, the apostles were split into two groups. The first six were the ones who were there at in Cana of Galilee. The first two were John and Andrew. Hello, Andrew. The first two were John and Andrew. You know, so that night they went with Jesus. So then Andrew said, this is too good. He went to go and get Peter. Peter was his brother. You know, then, of course, John got his brother James. You know, then there was Philip. Then there was Bartholomew. Six. It was those six that followed him to Cana of Galilee. You know, they had no clue what was going to happen. They just, you know, all they knew was what John said. Isn't that a great thing, honey? They believed before they saw. There was no manifestation. There was no glory. But they heard the prophetic word of John. Behold the Lamb of God. That taketh away the sin of the world. And you know, they followed him. Jesus said, what do you guys want? He said, where dwellest thou? He said, all right, come and see. So they now spend that night with him, and they call their brothers and all that. So by the next 2-3 days later, there are six of them. You know, so shortly now, there was this wedding in Cana of Galilee, and they invited Jesus and his mommy, I'm sure some of their relatives, you know, to come and all of that. And so they all, you know, they all went with Jesus, you know. They had heard from John that this is the Messiah, but there was nothing. first few days, there was nothing. No glory. No, but I'm sure they got a lot of revelation. I'm sure they were sharing a lot in the house. You know what they said to Nathaniel? You know, Bartholomew? They said, we have found Jesus of Nazareth, of whom Moses spake, and the scriptures speak, the Messiah. And you know what Nathaniel said? He said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He said, come and see. Come and see. But that time, there was nothing to see. There was no, understand this, there was no glory yet. The only thing they saw there was the Word. The depth of revelation. The depth of understanding that he was giving. You know? And so when he came, you know, Jesus said, behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. He said, when you are under the fig tree, and Philip, or was it whoever it is, was, you know, Andrew, whoever, you know, came to call you, said, I saw you. The guy was shocked. He said, how come? He said, thou art the king of Israel. My God and my king. So they joined the company. So that fateful day, the wedding is going on. Everybody is happy. Everybody is eating. You know, you have to go to Jewish weddings to understand what happened. Jewish people love celebration. They're just like the Yorubas. Or the Yorubas are just like them. Oh, I like it, but I don't. Praise the Lord. They will dance. They will sing. Oh, yeah, yeah. You go to a typical Jewish wedding. They love eating, dancing, and all of that. You know? So, all of that and the wine. Maybe he had more people than he budgeted for. That has happened before in parties. You know, and the wine was completely exhausted. I'm sure they are relatives. We don't know what kind of relatives or close friends. That is what will make Mary. Because they will look on. Come and meet Jesus. Eh? Wine, matiton. I'm saying it in Yoruba so you can get it. It's the same thing, you know. They have no wine. No. Just look at her and say, Mommy, what's that to me? I mean, they didn't tell me when they were budgeting for the party. The farthest thing from his mind was a miracle. Then his mom said, they have no wine. Then he got she's trying to push him to do something. He said, Mommy, you don't understand. It's not the feast of Passover yet. This is a Olubi paraphrase. But this was, you know, my time is not yet come. It's not at the party we are going to start doing miracles. That was his mentality. My time is not yet. Then Mary said something that is a revealing statement. She said, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. Stop. How did she know? Over the years, in the carpenter's shop, they knew that these were what we call circumstantial miracles. They're miracles, but they're not spectacular. She had observed that if there was a problem, maybe there were not enough nails, or the wood supplier did not come, or something happened, Jesus would tell them to do something. And whatever Jesus told them to do will solve the problem. She knew that from experience. Uncle Jeremiah is coming to collect his table and his chair next week. The wood supplier has not yet come, and we don't have enough wood to make this. Jesus will say, go to this place, or go and see this person, or goes and immediately go there, the wood will be there, they will supply it. She has seen it 1,000 times over the years. So she was thinking that, well, maybe he will know where they can get wine at this time. Like he always knows where we can get wood. So that's why she came to him. The last thing on their mind was miracle. Because they didn't, you know, that was not in operation yet. So Jesus does something strange. Instead of telling them to go to Mr. X down the road who has some barrels of wine in his cellar, you know, which you would have expected in the natural, which would still have been supernatural supply, it's just that it's not spectacular. Jesus tells them, he goes back to God, and God says, your mother
has got the right time. Today is your day. The day is the day of your showing. Tell them to fill the water pots with water. So he told his servant, said, go and fill the water pots with water. I still want to see that miracle, OMC. We're going to see it. I would like to see how that wine tastes. Uma beat ever baje. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? They fill the thing with water. But that's not the end. He gives them an instruction. Two instructions. The first instruction is go and fill it with water. Nobody would dare do what he said except he said it. But if you take water to the chairman of the wedding, they will abuse you well. So he said, now draw and take it to the governor of the feast. That was the word that changed the water to wine. Amen. Glory be to God. Talk about a miracle. While it was in the pot, it was water. When the act of faith, when they took the first cup and drew from it, and as they moved from where the water pots were, before they got to the top of the reception, all the water, including the one in their hand, had changed to wine. Give the Lord a clap offering. And says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. You know what the scripture says? It says, and we beheld his glory. That's what John was talking about. As of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I spoke about this briefly last week. Grace is life. It doesn't say so exactly, but that's what it says. In his favor is life. Psalm 30 verse 5. So when Jesus was full of two things, he was full of the life of God because he was humble. The Bible says the child grew in wisdom and in favor. The child grew in wisdom, and favor is grace. Over the years, he grew. So the measure of the life of God, The measure of the life of God in him grew over the years. So when he reached full stature, he was full. Not only was he full of grace, he was full of truth. The word. The written word. Ha 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 ha. Man, if there was a person who knew the word, it was Jesus. Glory be to God. That's what he spent in those first 30 years doing. He went to the synagogue every Sabbath day. And he would hear the scribes. And they would read from Genesis. And they would read from Exodus. And they would read from Leviticus. They would read from Numbers. They would read from Deuteronomy. And Joshua. And Judges. And Ruth. First and Second Samuel. And First and Second Kings. And First and Second Chronicles. And Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, Daniel, and Hosea, all the prophets. So over, it wasn't a one-day thing. The word was deposited. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. There are things you're reading now you will not use until 5 years' time. But it's there. You will go somewhere, maybe God will send you something to go and talk to somebody. You will just find out what you didn't think of will just start coming out. That's why you need to come to church. All the things you are hearing tonight, you're not going to use them all tonight. But as you are hearing them now, it's being stored in your inner man. It may be 2 months' time. You may be talking or sharing with somebody, or God may send you somewhere to go and teach, you may teach in foundation of faith classes. The thing will just start coming out. That's why you need to do two things. Read your Bible regularly, daily, and listen to the anointed word daily. Jesus did both. So at the age of 12, after some deposit of grace and truth, he goes to Jerusalem, a 12-year-old boy. He sits among the scribes and the doctors of the law. Both, watch this, he did two things. He said, both hearing them, asking and answering.
Jesus realized he was still learning. So he was listening, he was asking, and he was answering questions. The Bible says they were amazed. They were astonished at his understanding and his answers. But that was at 12. You can imagine what he was at 30. He was the Word personified. Give the Lord a clap offering. The Word. Full of grace and truth. And you and I need to be full of grace and truth. We're going to see it in a minute and we'll close with that tonight. You and I need to be full of grace and truth. You need to be full of the Word. And you see, the more truth you have in your heart, the less you can be deceived. The only guarantee against deception is truth. No matter how nice something looks, no matter how good it feels, if it is contrary to the Word of God, it is not the truth. Thy Word is truth. To the law and to the testimony. Seal the law amongst his disciples. Another message for another day. It means that the law, this law of the Spirit of life, is sealed. It is only people who are disciples, who follow the disciplines of Christ, that it opens up to. Not that people will hear you say it, but they can't understand it and they can't do it. Seal the law. Seal it. It's sealed among disciples. That's why we encourage you to become disciples. Get up early in the morning. Good morning, Jesus. Amen. That's what discipline, disciples, you know, pray. You know, what did Jesus do? The Bible says he woke up early in the morning. The Bible says in the days of his flesh, days being plural, which was his habit, he offered up prayer and supplication with what? Strong crying and tears. And he was heard in that he feared. Honesty and humility of heart. You want to be a disciple? Do that. You don't do that, you're not a disciple. Nobody said amen. Whether I say amen or oh me. You don't do that, you're not a disciple. It is the people who practice those things that are disciples. Those are the disciplines of Christ. Getting up early in the morning, praying and spending time in the Word. The Bible says, he went unto the synagogue as was his custom. Amen. Do you know it takes discipline to come to church? How many people know that on Sunday morning it's easier to stay at home? Hello? That's why a lot of people are substituting online for coming to church. It will not work. Are you following? Because the person who supplies the grace is at home with you. You see, if you do it occasionally, there are times you can't help that. But you know, but if you want to now use it as a substitute for church, the grace will stop. Because God expects you to be in a local body where you are accountable and you are serving. This online church is not going to work. Online church only works as a supplement, not a substitute. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You need accountability. You need to have a pastor that you are accountable who can say, where were you last week? Why were you not in church? What nonsense are you doing? You need to have a pastor who can say, what group are you in? You are not in the church, you are not in the choir, you are not in this, you are not that. What are you doing? You are a useless member of the body. Find something to do. You need it. You can't stay at home online. And online is a supplement. It is not a substitute. And the giver of grace knows. So if you try and use it as a substitute, it will not work. You will just be listening, but there will be no grace. It will be removed. Because when you're watching online, it's the same anointing that is coming through the television or through the iPad or whatever it is. Do you understand? If God, who is the supplier, cuts it off, or you just hear his words. You know why? You are disobeying. Don't mind the mic. you're disobeying another instruction.
He says if you offend in one part of the law, he says it's the same thing as he says the law said don't commit adultery and don't commit murder. He says if you don't commit adultery but you commit murder, you say you are guilty of the law. Hey, you don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together. You don't do that one, and then you won't do the other one. You are guilty. Amen. The New Testament commandments are commandments. They are not suggestions. You need to come to church. Don't substitute online church for church. It's a supplement. It's supposed to help. It's a complement. It is not a substitute. It will not work. Amen. Five amens. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I preach me happy. Papa Hagin used to say that. I appreciate it. And I'm doing it myself. You know. So, full of grace and truth. Seal the testimony amongst my disciples. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. How will you know if a man is speaking? If you have the word. If you don't know the word, you will be deceived. One of the things that God has had mercy on me and helped me is over these years, I have imbibed the word of God into my heart. From when I first got born again. I just give you my trajectory. It's a good thing for you to copy. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I can say that too to some degree. You know, my first year, I finished the whole Bible. First year. Read the whole Bible in 1 year. I had this, it was called, there's this group, they're still in England. They're called the Navigators. I can never forget them. They came to Imperial College, to our Christian Union, and they gave us this Bible reading guide. And they said, if you want to grow, read this every day. So I did. I got it. Then I bought another book from Scripture Union. It's called Search the Scriptures. Hold on. I want to unshare you anymore. I want to ask you, giddy. Those are, all those things. God will have mercy on the church. Oh. Thank God we have good money in Jesus. That's why I follow those Bible, daily Bible thing. Follow it. Your life depends on it. You know, so I had the Navigators and Search Scriptures. So that's what I did. My first year, I finished the whole Bible. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Then after that, I now started reading the Bible again. So I will now read the whole Bible every 3 years. I've been a Christian now for 40 years. So, averagely, if you take 3 from 40, you get 37 or about 36. So I've read the whole Bible about 9 times over the years. Every 3 years, I read the whole Bible. The first time I first read. See, when you read the Bible the first time, you're reading it for information. When you read it secondly, you're reading it for revelation. Information and revelation are not the same thing. Information is just what it says historically, what the letter says. That's why you now read it again. You now read it slowly. You now do 6 verses, 10 verses. 13 verses, not too much, every day. Proverbs, Psalms, the Gospel, New Testament, Old Testament, about 13, 14 verses, 20 verses, not much. You know, you already know, you've read it before. But when you now read it like that, you now begin to get revelation. The Holy Spirit now begins to speak. You imbibe the word. Then when a pastor is talking, or some so-called prophet opens his mouth, you have a bank to which to test him. Immediately he says something, that's not what the Bible says. He can say the letter, if he misses the spirit, you will know. It's not enough to just tell me what the letter says. I want to know the spirit behind it. Because by the grace and the mercy of God, I have the word and I have the spirit. The Bible says, you have an unction and you know all things. He said, you need not that any man teach you. Now, that doesn't mean you don't need human teachers. He's talking about any man who doesn't have the anointing. Who comes in with philosophy and you just say, this one doesn't know what he's talking about.
When they come and say, oh, there is no God and the Bible is against science, you just laugh them in the face because you know the truth. You need the word. Let's move to the next verse. Verse 15. John bear witness, I didn't hear you, of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Can you imagine how John missed it? This same John. This same guy who said, thou he that cometh with me. Another message for another day. It just shows you how offense and wrong heart can block light. Next verse. I'm going to stop here tonight. And of his fullness, I didn't hear you. Have some of us, we received and grace for. Give me this in the Amplified Bible. And of his, out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share. And we were all supplied with one grace after another. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. And even favor upon favor and gift heaped upon gift. Give the Lord a clap offering. I would say fullness. I'm going to close with this tonight. And we'll take it from my next lesson. Fullness. Fullness. God's purpose is that we get the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. I'll drop this with you. I don't know if I've shared it in church. I think I have. But if I haven't, this is a good time to do it. When you receive the Holy Ghost and you spoke in tongues, you receive the earnest of the Spirit. The word earnest is an old English word. It just means deposit. You didn't receive the full thing. There's a full inheritance, which what we call the Spirit without measure. Now, watch this. When you received the earnest, you understand? That earnest, there was a physical evidence of it through one member of your body, the tongue. Are you listening to me? If you use that earnest properly, if you use that, the other day we did this weekly rhema on gifts and rewards. See, a gift is when God just gives you one small measure. Now, if you use that measure properly, you will now get greater measures, which are not gifts, they are now rewards. Hello? Of course, the base foundation is still a gift anyway, so you can't boast. Alright, so what God wants to do now is that when you are now filled with the fullness, instead of the Spirit of God to be manifest through only one physical member, it's not going to manifest through all the members of the body. So instead of just speaking in tongues alone, are you listening to me? The power of God will not just come out through your tongue alone. It will go into your brain, give you the ability of the mind of Christ. It will go into your hands. So anybody you lay hands to, the power of God. It will go into your legs so that anybody who touches you will get healed. That's fullness. Where the power of God is not manifest through one member, it's manifest through all members of your body. If that can't make you shout, I don't know what will. Now watch this. This will blow your mind. How do you activate the power of God when it's through one member, the tongue? I will pray with the Spirit. I can choose to release the power of God, the earnest, anytime I want by praying in tongues. It says, I will pray with the Spirit. How do you release the power when it's through all the members? I will. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. When you have the fullness, you can ask what you will, and it will be done. Jesus, the leper comes to him and says, I know you can cleanse me if you will. He said, I will. And the leprosy left. When you have the fullness, that's what's going to happen. You will ask what you will and it will be done. Instantly. How are you going to get the fullness? Watch this. Grace upon grace. You say, grace and peace be multiplied. Let me leave this with you. See,
Today is the 4th of March. Tomorrow will be the 5th of March. When you pray today, you know, you say, in Jesus' name I have life, you receive a measure of life. Tomorrow, the 5th of March, when you say, in Jesus' name I have life, you should receive more measure than you got today. For the 6th of March, the measure should increase. It may not be, the increase may not be phenomenal, but there will be an increase. That is why it's grace upon grace. By the time I end the month of March, the amount of measure I am getting should be significantly higher than what I got in February. By the time I get to April, the amount of measure I should receive should be more than what I got in March. And so on and so forth. So by the time you look at the measures of life I am receiving over a quarter, over a year, over 7 years, you begin to see great and great increase. What's going to happen is in the limit, for those who are not mathematical, as you continue to receive measure after the measure, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, over years of spiritual growth, a place and a time will come where the measure becomes without measure. So of his fullness have received of him grace upon grace. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Fullness. It comes by grace upon grace. Ah, something else I didn't say. Well, I'll take it in my next lesson anyway. You know, of course, you know how grace comes. Humility. See, why? If the grace is not increasing, it means the humility is not increasing. Because God gives grace to the humble. So if I want more and more grace, I have to get more and more humble. That's why that daily prayer is crucial. I choose to fear God. So I humble myself. Notice God is not going to humble you. He may humiliate you, but he will not humble you. You have to humble yourself. Are you listening to me? I choose to feel, I humble myself, you know, and submit to the will of God even when I don't feel like it. So you do that daily. So because the humility is increasing, and I added a proviso into the prayer recently, so I have more of the humility of the mind of Christ. So you should have it more and more. The more humility, the more grace. So it'll be grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. So grace keeps increasing, humility keeps increasing, grace keeps increasing, and as I continue with it over many years, I come to fullness. I'm filled with all the fullness of God. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, honey. At least my wife is on my side. No, I don't know. I'm not sure. They all say, oh, me, oh, me, oh, me. It's my wife and Pastor Boy God. They say, amen, amen. And Pastor, and a few other pastors. And then the other are just looking at me going, hmm. Okay, you're on my side now. You're on my side. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Jesus.
and as I wait. The power of your love, Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see you face to face the knowledge of your love. As you live in me. How glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. And Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life. In your love. Glory to God. Hold me close. Let your love. Heart, raise the other hand to God.
Lord, unveil my heart.
Meditatively.
Let me see you face to face the knowledge of your love as you live.
Oh, glory to God.
Renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day. By the power of your love, hold me close.
Near, Lord. Draw me to your side.
Draw me to your side.
In the power of your love, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Say, Father, I confess our we confess our sins, especially the sin of unbelief, as it concerns perfection and the spirit without measure. Lord, help our unbelief. Help us to believe your word, to know these are not cunningly devised fables, that in this day and hour, in this generation, there will be men and women and boys and girls that will walk in perfection and that will partake of the power of the Spirit without measure and demonstrate the power of the age to come, the powers of the age to come in this dispensation, in this generation. And by mercy and grace, I choose to be one of them. Father, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Open my eyes. Unveil my eyes. Let me see in my heart, beyond what Pastor Luby has said, beyond what anybody has preached, let me know it for myself. This hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of this inheritance of the Spirit without measure amongst the saints, the exceeding greatness of the resurrection power that you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. Help me, Lord, to see that I can grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, speaking the truth in love, to grow up into him in all things. Help me see it. Help me believe it. Help me act upon it. And help me ultimately attain it. In Jesus' name. Mercy, Lord. Father, mercy. In Jesus' name. Just before we sit down, we're going to the praise and worship. As I was praying, the Lord said something to me, and I would forget. I could forget. So I have to say it now. You see that illustration we showed of the inner man and the life of God? You know, the yellow. You can see that it increases and it can decrease depending on how we're living above sin. If you cleanse constantly with the blood, you will find that the flow will be constant and the measure in your inner man will be constant. Now, I said this to you. It's not to frighten you. It's to encourage you. The measure you die with will determine your resurrection. If you go with a small measure, it will determine the order and the glory of your resurrection. It is the measure of the life of God that is flowing inside your in your spirit, soul, and body that you are buried with, that you resurrect with. Because the resurrection is a seed. Now, the good news is our generation, you don't have to die. If you can't say amen, say omi. Maybe you don't believe that, but I do. I believe this is a generation that will not die. Now, I didn't say I cannot die. I'm saying I believe that I will not die. We can all die. Jesus died. Anybody can die. But the point is this. There is a generation on the earth right now, because not because we're better than the other generation. It's just that the time. You know, if you're looking at 20, 30 years, most of us will still be in our 70s, 80s. You know, some will be in our 90s, some will be in our 100s. You know, you can even live to 120. Hello, somebody. So there are a lot of people who are living now who will believe this truth, walk in it, and they won't die. What we mean they won't die is that they will go with the rapture. But whether you die or you're buried or you live, the measure of life and power inside your system will determine the order of your resurrection and will determine the glory of your resurrection. Hold that. God said I should tell you. Say, Lord, have mercy on us to receive your blood.